our devotion tonight is pursuing God. And we have four thoughts for our meditation. Seeking God early, verse 1. Seeking His presence, verse 2 to 4. Strengthened, verse 5 to 7. And verse 8 to 11, determination and resolve. We thank the Lord that He gives to us His word and provides for us a prayer meeting at midweek so that we can come together to be renewed in strength. And the Lord has also provided for us His word that enables us to find strength as we meditate upon it. The psalmist David was trained in the pursuit of God by the providence of God in the wilderness. When you are in affliction, when you are on the run, when life is tough, when you are unable, as it were, to see the light for the next day, life finds itself with a new meaning as you struggle for life, you struggle to survive, as you struggle for the next day. He was a fugitive living in constant threat to his life. It was there in the wilderness that he was taught the lesson of spiritual discipline, to be constantly in touch with his God. Are you in constant touch with God? Do you feel yourself having the need to be constantly in touch with God? God puts us through difficult circumstances, as it were, to draw us close to Him. In every trial, you'll find yourself inadvertently landing yourself in an emotional state of insecurity, and you find yourself struggling. And that's where the sanctified, the redeemed soul would pursue hard after God. And the kind of satisfaction, the kind of strength that we receive is something that you have to experience it for yourself, or we have to experience it for ourselves. And so the Lord speaks to us through these words, how He wrote many psalms recounting His spiritual encounters with God. Do you have encounter with God, your life with God, in a sense, when you have a need, and how that need is satisfied by Him? Well, that is a spiritual experience that God brings for us, and how it is a picture of a vibrant life in the Spirit. And God wants you to have that kind of a vibrant spiritual life, vitality. David learned how to deal with his emotions, with his depression, with his weariness in the wilderness. It is during the time of trial, it is during the time of affliction that we learn how to handle the extremities of life. How to survive? Well, he says, our first thought, seeking God early. Thou art my God, he says in verse 1. Early will I seek thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee. Do you have a longing, a thirsting to be connected with God? Because He's the source of nourishment, He's the source of strength, He's the source of enablement for life. Life springs from Him. And so He tells us that he seeks to seek for the presence of God in his life. And he showed it by a determined heart, the intensive stem of the verb to seek. The desire after God speaks for itself. The thirst and hunger after righteousness is a sure sign of an awakened conscience to the need of the soul. God oftentimes brings us to this periods of trial, tribulation, where you find yourself pressed to the limit, pressed to the core. And that's where you can have two responses. Either you draw closer to God, as the psalmist did, or you can choose, right, to become depressed, despondent, dejected, and even to the point of giving up. But for the man of God, you would find that there is a power that is within you, the Spirit of God that is within you, strengthening you, helping you, providing the support you need. He says, "My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Dry and thirsty land. In the wilderness, in the desert, you don't find many sources of water supply. And it is rare to stumble upon a fresh spring. And when you find one, you would very, very delightfully cherish. And here the psalmist is speaking to us, sharing with us the inside thirst that is within him. C.H. Spurgeon, he make this comment. He says, "The the heart panteth after the water brooks, but the camel does not pant after water brooks, because it carries its own water within. But the heart, having no internal resources, inward resource, after being hunted on a hot day, it is drained of its moisture, right? And we, as a child of God, you find that, you know, we do not carry stores of God's grace within our own that we can rely upon. But moment by moment, you need to come again and again to seek your nourishment. And the Lord wants us to do so. You know, the camel, we have mentioned this, is a very unique creation of God. The body temperature, our body temperature is about 37 degrees Celsius. And over a 24-hour period, our body temperature does not change very much, half a degree either side. But, and like many mammals, when we heat up, when the environment is hot, we sweat in order to maintain this temperature. But for the camel, it's different. Rather than wasting excessive moisture, maintaining a constant temperature, the camel is made such that it has its own internal body temperature that is regulated so that it increases steadily from 34 degrees at dawn to 41 degrees during the hottest part of the day. The camel can dissipate the stored heat overnight. and it brings its internal temperature back to 34 degrees the next morning. And its outer woolly coat assists by insulating the animal against excessive heat gain. And this reduced the water loss by as much as 2/3 compared with maintaining a constant temperature. And so you see, a camel, God made it so uniquely to thrive in the wilderness. When the camel does not sweat, or does sweat, it prevents its blood from thickening, a condition that can result in cardiac failure by replacing lost moistures from other body tissues. And so a camel can tolerate a 25 to 30% loss of body mass by dehydration, twice what would be fatal for most mammals. And the red blood cells of the camel also have membranes that permit an unusual degree of swelling, so that when a source of water is available, despite the fact that the camel can absorb over 100 liters of water into its body in 10 minutes, they won't burst. There was not that sudden diluting of the blood. So it's interesting, as you look at the camel and its the way it is make up, the cells of cattle would rupture in the same situation. A thirsty camel is able to further minimize moisture loss by concentrating its urine into a thick syrup. And this reduces the output to 1/5 of the normal volume, while the feces produced are so dry they can immediately be used as fuel for fire. A camel doesn't always need a direct source of water in dry conditions. In cooler weather, it's supplied with a source of foliage that contain enough moisture. A camel may not drink any water for months. It can also tolerate a much higher level of saltiness in the water, since it needs 6 to 8 times as much salt as other animals in order to absorb and store water. The hum of the camel is not a storage area for water, as we often think, as commonly believed, but fat, which the camel uses as energy when food sources are not available. When food is plentiful, the camel will overeat and store the excess as fat in its hump, which can weigh as much as 45 kilograms. As the fat in the hump is converted to energy in times of scarcity, the hump begins to shrink and can even slip off the back and hang down the side. However, the camel is able to rest and eat, the hump will become firm and plump again. Why do we spend so much time talking about the camel? Well, it's to contrast that we are not like that. Like David, who realizes that God is able to help him in those times of need. He doesn't have the store of resources for himself. He needs to come to God regularly to seek him and to find help. And so he says that early I will seek after my God. Do you have that habit of not doing any other thing first till you have met with God? Do you take time to nourish yourself spiritually first before you would do any other thing? Is that a habit? Well, the Lord wants us to cultivate a good spiritual habit, a good spiritual discipline. And oftentimes, we don't, in a time when things seem to be well outwardly, you won't find yourself in that state. But the Lord wants us to cultivate. And here, verse 2 says that what was he doing when he was up seeking the Lord? seeking the presence of the God, Lord, verse 2 says, to see thy power and thy glory, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He has seen the Lord, he has experienced the power of God in his life, and the loving kindness of God, God's presence with him, God's love, caring for him. Do you have a need and you seek the Lord in prayer and he meets your need? Well, for the believer, it is not uncommon. In fact, it is a everyday situation. Right? You pray, you seek the Lord shows you, and your need is met. And you go on like that. And there is no matter that is too small that you would not call upon the Lord, because you know that you are without wisdom. You don't want to make a wrong move because it can be costly. So here he said that he does that because he knows that God will be there for him. He has experienced the goodness of God in his life. He has experienced the care of God for him. And he realizes the ability of God to help him in the dangers that he's facing daily in the wilderness. What do you see in the wilderness? Predators. What do you see in the wilderness? First, what do you see there? Hunger. What do you see there? Deficiency. Inadequacy. But it was there in those times of insufficiency, in those times of inadequacy, that he has his needs met. And it's amazing that we are able to understand the truth of God's presence with us only in those times of trial. And you know, while we sit here, things seem to be okay, seem to be well, but we don't know when a trial will come upon us, when we would find ourselves discomforted. And that's where we need to exercise faith. That's where we need to keep on believing. That's where we need to never give up. That's where we need to plead with the Lord. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And the psalmist tells us that God was there for him each step of the way. Verse 4 says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. He says that he has experienced God in such a personal way, in such a satisfying way, that he goes on praising his God. Is that your relationship with the living God? There is a constant lightheartedness, in the sense that your external circumstances may be heavy, but there is a lightheartedness in the sense that you know that in the presence of God, you find refuge. In the presence of God, there is a way out. In the presence of God, you would find strength. And this is what the psalmist was doing. He was seeking the Lord. I will lift up my hands in thy name. He would seek the Lord in prayer. Do you have that quiet communion with God, that moment by moment relationship whereby you find satisfaction and strength? Well, the psalmist says that he has. Prayer is power. And as he gives his petitions and troubles to God, he finds himself satisfied. When we are not satisfied, then you find yourself fidgeting, right? But if you are satisfied, then we will not be fidgeting. And so he says in verse 5 that he was strengthened whenever he sought the Lord, whenever he prayed to the Lord. Is this your relationship? Is this the strength that God gives to you in your heart? Verse 5 says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." He says that his soul finds satisfaction, and there is a nourishment that God gives to his body that is able to strengthen him. And he experiences it with such joy. There is that praise that comes from within his heart. He knew that things are under control because his God is there with him, for him, to help him. The blessings of God that came to him gave strength and prosperity to his soul. We must seek God ourselves in order to experience this blessing. And the psalmist is strengthened, he says, and he rejoices when he remembered the promises of God and meditate upon them. Do you meditate upon the promises of God in your heart? You would take God's promises. I ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Do you understand these promises of God in a very literal way? That God will take care of you. And you have a need. You know that all you need to do is to ask. The Lord will help you. And the Lord wants us to seek him so that we can find help in him. The psalmist tells us that as we meditate upon his word, as we take time to ponder, consider, think over, you would find that God provides us with the strength. There is a realization in his life. Because God is God, his thirsty soul will be filled, his weary body will be refreshed, and that he will see God's power, God's glory, and he recount the past faithfulness of God. Do you, in those times of despondency and desperation, do you think about the faithfulness of God, the past times when he showed himself faithful? And we must not forget those times, because that's where we would find strength again, to meditate, to think of God's love and his care for us, how he's praiseworthy because he's the giver of life. And he shall receive nourishment for his soul. It gives him joy in the heart. God favors him. What a friend we have in Jesus. And verse 8. There is a determination and a resolve within him. Verse 8 says, "My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me." To follow hard is to cleave, to cling on to the Lord for life. And what is the motivation that gives him the strength to cling and cleave to God? He says, "For thy right hand," the hand of authority, the hand of ability, supported him. Paul said to Timothy, "To exercise thyself to godliness," 1 Timothy 4:7. To train, to exercise, to work out vigorously, to sweat it out, is a metaphor that is used for discipline. That God wants to build in us a spiritual discipline, a strength within us, a determination, a resolve, to know where we would turn to for help. where we can turn to for help. And oftentimes, we can turn here, turn there, and yet not turn to the Lord. The Lord wants us to turn to Him. When we turn to Him, when we look full in His face, you'll find that there is a way out. He provides us a solution miraculously. You know, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But he was not afraid, because he has cultivated such spiritual discipline within him that he knows that God will be there for him as he stick his life, willing to sacrifice it, as it were. And this is what the Christian life is. You seem to lose it, but you have won it. And you seem to be able to preserve it, and yet you lose it. Paradox. Paradox. But this is a spiritual paradox that oftentimes we don't learn, and we don't learn fast enough. And we can pay a price for it, but the Lord doesn't want us to do so. The Lord wants us to spiritually profit with Him. And so He tells us that, well, the Lord is there with him. The Lord is there for him. But those that seek my soul to destroy it, it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. There shall be a portion for foxes. Wow. John Calvin, he gives these words concerning this portion of scripture. He says, here we find David rising to a more assured confidence and triumphing as he had already obtained, as if he had already obtained the victory. There is every reason to believe that though he had escaped his difficulties and was in circumstances of peace and prosperity when he wrote this psalm, yet he only expresses what he actually felt at the critical period when his life was in such imminent danger. He declares his conviction that the enemies who eagerly sought his life would be cut off, that God would cast them headlong into destruction, that their very bodies should be left without burial. To the portion of foxes is the same thing as being left to be torn and devoured by the beast of the field. And is often denounced, John Calvin says, as one judgment which should befall the wicked, that they would perish by the sword, become the prey of wolves and of dogs without privilege of sepulchre. This is a fate which the best of men have met with in the world. For good as well as bad are exposed to the stroke of temporal evil. But there is this distinction, that God watches over the scattered dust of his own children, gathers it again, and suffer nothing of them to perish. Whereas when the wicked are slain, their bones spread on the field. This is only preparatory to their everlasting destruction. And so the Lord tells us that for the human soul, there is an eternal reckoning, and there's an eternal comfort. And the Lord tells us that unless we know who we belong to, unless we know where we are going, unless we know and we have that vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that relationship is real, then we can suffer great loss. Great loss. And the Lord doesn't want us to do so. And He gives us many opportunities, time and time again, to come to Him, to seek Him, to bless His name, to find solace, to find help. The Lord, help us. The Lord be with us to grant us the strength that we need. I put in your notes the story of Pass Me Not, a story that speaks about life and the strength that a man would find in life when he finds the living God. At a point of conversion, when we have a real vital relationship with God, and not just at conversion, but after we come to know God, that there is that cultivation of a vibrant relationship, that we know that we cannot do without Him. Lord, pass me not. If you pass by me, I'm doomed, I'm dead, I perish. And therefore, we would cling on to Him for our life. There is a determination, there is a resolve to know what is profitable and helpful for us. May the Lord help us to pursue Him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And because we are going to be so satisfied, we are going to be so strong, strength, so much strengthened, and we are going to praise Him because He's going to nourish us. That is the life of a child of God. What a life. And He wants us to that life to be real for us. May it be real. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for showing us the need to be pursuing God. Lord, we find ourselves pursuing many things other than Thee, the satisfaction for our soul. Lord, help us. Help us to pursue Thee, pursue after Thee, so that we may truly find satisfaction for our soul, that our soul indeed will find its focus, find its center, find its strength. Lord, help us to understand Your worth in our lives. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.